Since this closed session is only 15 minutes.
You're live.
Okay. Good morning. It's February 8th, 2011. Welcome to the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. Please rise and join us for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Madam Clerk, could you read the changes to the agenda, please?
The changes to today's agenda is we have two added items to consent. A12, a submittal by Supervisor Hill of a resolution recognizing Sandy Dunn for being chosen as the Symphony Honors recipient for her dedicated volunteer service to the citizens of San Luis Obispo County. A13, a request by General Services Agency to approve an architectural engineering contract in the amount of $55,100 with Ravitt Albrecht and Associates to provide a schematic design for a new library at 6555 Capistrano for the library, Atascadero Library Expansion Project. And approve a corresponding budget adjustment in the amount transferring $63,300 into the project budget. We have an added hearing item, C1, to consider a resolution of intention to develop a groundwater management plan for the Paso Robles groundwater basin. Staff is recommending this item be placed on the agenda immediately following the presentation items. We have an added item to closed session, pending litigation, A, conference with legal counsel existing litigation, 12, County of San Luis Obispo versus Union Pacific Railroad, CV100729. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We are going to move into our consent, and I have one request to open up to the public on consent. I have one request to speak, and that is Frank Honeycutt. Mr. Honeycutt.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Frank Honeycutt with County Public Works. This is on the item for emergency work there along Avila Beach Drive. I just wanted to give you an update.
Great.
We're nearly complete. In fact, we plan to finish the bulk of our work this week and maybe have some minor details next week, which is good because we have rain forecasts for next week. It seemed that weather was good to us and that it was a nice day to work almost for the entire length of this project. I might also mention that while it's not certain, we'll likely be reimbursed for this work either through FEMA or through Federal Highway for disaster relief. And so with that, I hope not to be back here in 2 more weeks to ask you to extend it. And so if you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Questions? Well, I thank you and your folks for getting on that so quickly. I know the people of Avila are thankful as well.
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, we got a whole lot of cooperation from PG&E and the adjoining property owner, and it'd be good to mention that we wouldn't have been able to move so quickly without their help. So.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Honeycutt. Mr. Wynn on A7.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and supervisors. My name is Mike Wynn, and I just want to welcome Mr. Toomey to the RAC. He'll be a fine appointment. I've worked with him in Napomo, in the Napomo planning, water planning area. He did an excellent job. Each of the five of you do have an option under our bylaws to appoint an alternate as well as the person you have appointed. Those people wouldn't vote all the time, but they certainly could participate in the discussions. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. I appreciate that. Seeing no further requests from the public on consent, I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the board and go to my colleagues to see if they want any items addressed or comment on. We'll start to my right with Mr. Teixeira.
I would like item A11 for discussion.
Okay. Mr. Meacham?
Due to the shortness of the agenda, I think I'd like to pull 1 through 11 so we can talk about each and every one of these.
Want to read them out loud?
No, I have none, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Patterson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, item A13 for comment.
Okay. And Mr. Gibson.
Well, I was sort of intrigued with Mr. Meacham's idea, but in fact I don't have any that rise to a level needing separate discussion.
Nor do I, so we will start at A11 with Mr. Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. The question regarding the expenditure of $40,000 for a new patrol car when we'd spent or approved $26,000 apiece last month, and I believe Under Sheriff Basti is here to explain the difference in those. Thank you.
Here he comes. Undersheriff.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the board, staff and public. Martin Basti, Undersheriff. Supervisor Teixeira, to explain what we did as we looked through in reference to last year, the unmarked cars and the marked cars. So during the process, we surrendered four unmarked cars from the fleet, and two that additional that are up for replacement for civil, we want to convert them to black and white because they're out in the field doing process service. And so this gives us two additional cars during the daytime plus emergency response because they're fully outfitted. The difference in the cost, $26,000 for the Crown Vic and about $29,000 for the Tahoe, the difference is we have to buy the equipment. So you have such things as the light bar, the camera, disc for the camera, the in-car computer, sales tax, and then, of course, the console, the gun rack, the divider, the front push bar, the paint scheme, the placard, and about $2,000 labor from both the county garage and from communications to put all the equipment in. Normally we do on the replacement vehicles, we take the equipment from the vehicles being surveyed and put it on to the new vehicle. This we have to buy the new equipment. That's why the additional. And the funds come from civil trust. So every time we do a process service or we distribute funds, those monies are set aside strictly for civil for furtherance or process. So that's why the additional cost. Yeah, the vehicle cost, but you have all the equipment. But it does allow us to have two additional patrol cars out in the field.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Grant, did you want to weigh in on this?
No, I just I had a clarification on the added item that
I wanted to make sure that, that the public was aware of, that this added item with the intention to develop a groundwater management plan for the Paso Robles groundwater basin, that item, even though it's on the agenda, is recommended to be continued until March 22nd.
Right.
So I want to make sure the public knows that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Undersheriff. Mr. Teixeira, is that?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Patterson on A13.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item A13 is an added item. It's to approve the architectural and engineering contract with Rivat, Albrecht and Associates for the new Atascadero Library. The Friends of the Library held an open house 2 weeks ago at a new building that the county just purchased in the heart of Atascadero, and this contract will allow the interior design to begin and the schematic drawings that the Friends can use to do their fundraising so we can complete the project. And the Friends are actively working to raise their $1 million contribution to the project, and this will allow them to get that process underway.
Okay, great. Thank you. With no further comment from the board, I'll look for a motion to approve the consent with the added items.
So moved. Second.
All right, I'm going to say Supervisor Teixeira seemed to sneak in there for the motion, and Supervisor Meacham seconded. With that, Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Mr. Teixeira?
Aye.
Mr. Meacham?
Aye.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
And Mr. Hill?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, we are going to move into our presentations, and I'd like a motion to approve the presentation count.
So moved.
Second. Okay, Mr. Gibson, seconded by Mr. Meacham. Madam Clerk, if you could...
Mr.
Roll
Gibson?
Call.
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
And Mr. Hill?
Yes. Okay, as some of our folks are filing out, this is time to honor a few things, and we'll start with National Meat Month, and if the, I believe some cattle women are here, if they would like to come forward and come to a lectern, and hopefully they're bringing bags of jerky or all sorts of goodies. The reason why we showed up this morning.
Where's
and Supervisor Meacham will be happy to read the proclamation, if you would.
Eggs and steak this morning.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's my privilege, my honor, to read the proclamation for the resolution proclaiming February 2011 as National Meat Month. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas San Luis Obispo County cattlewomen are proud of the significant role the livestock and meat industry have played in the development of this nation and our county for the nearly 300 years, and the continued production of a nutrient-dense food for the populace has played a historic, economic, and a healthy role in our daily lives. San Luis Obispo County cattlewomen and cattle producers are committed to protecting the environment and the responsible use of our county's natural resources, and know it is in our best interest to maintain and improve the land, water, and other resources for which we are responsible and depend upon for our livelihoods. The San Luis Obispo County cattlewomen have the most members in the state involved in beef education and realize that education is and will always be a priority. The cattlewomen are proud to be one of the founding members of the Agricultural Education Committee to promote agricultural literacy among school children, and are also providing an ever-increasing scholarship program for young people committed to agriculture. Therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Luis Obispo, State of California, does hereby proclaim February 2011 as National Meat Month in San Luis Obispo County. And I also see that we have our Cattlewoman of the Year, Darlene Rada, is here with us as well. So,
great. Would you like to come up and, if you wouldn't mind, come on up? And
we have a presentation for you as well.
Okay.
But would you like this or not?
Yeah. Thanks,
Rob. Yeah, you run the gauntlet.
Yeah, right. That's part of the video.
Good to see you.
Oh, and
did you want to get a photo here? We have
all of them.
We can take it.
Come on.
Yeah, all right.
No extra charge, actually. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
And feel free to make your presentation.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. Thank you, Board. We appreciate that very much, especially with Mr. Meacham reading that. That's special to us. We thank you for all of your recognition and your support of the beef business and the farmers and ranchers in this county. It also, funnily enough, became I Heart Beef Month. So along that line with the National Beef Council, the San Luis Obispo County Cattlewomen would again like to donate $50 in each of your names to the San Luis Obispo County Food Bank Coalition. It's a fact that all of us as ranching families or farming families feed 55 other families. And so for us to remain in business also produces, you know, like the whole ripple effect, if you will. So personally, I'd like to thank you for your support of the Williamson Act, because in California, 97% of these farms and ranches are family-owned. So it's not something that you can go back into business again anymore once that land is there and those families are in place. It's difficult to go back the other way. So that's just a personal thank you on my behalf. We did bring you beef because we are the cattlewomen. However, it comes. Yeah, I'm going to keep one. I'll keep Frank.
Ma'am, if you wouldn't mind, each speaker, the clerk needs your names for the record.
My name is Terry, T-E-R-R-I, Woods, W-O-O-D-S. I have no serial number. And I am the Beef Promotion and Beef Ambassador Chair. We also train young people to spread the message. And our president, June Kester, who will say a couple words here in a minute. As soon as I go through your bags, it'll only take a moment. But it's made of beef byproducts because, yes,
thank you.
Cattle produce beef, so we brought you a Cattaneo's local business beef stick. you need beef in order to produce paper. So on these papers are the power of protein, some good recipes, and Wow That Cow, which shows all of the different aspects of cattle ranching that benefit us in daily life. And a cattlewoman napkin, because sometimes, you know, you at the Board of Supervisors have to stay clean.
I brought you some vitamin B12 for energy, healthy nerves and cells, which I think is probably really important to you. Of course, it's better to get straight from a good steak, but it's here in a bottle being represented since I didn't bring my refrigeration truck. I brought you some toothpaste and a toothbrush for a nice, healthy smile while you're out there. Because, again, there's beef byproducts not only in the toothpaste, but also in the rubber and the bristles of the toothbrush. It's like your tires. Without stearic acid, it wouldn't hold together. Of course, that's a little stearic acid or kauic acid. Crayons, because you guys have to write a lot. And there's also gelatin in marshmallows. So we brought you some marshmallow hearts for I Heart Beef Month. Beef is the number one choice for romantic couples, especially filet mignon. So keep that in mind, please, for this week, for your loved ones. And this is Mr. Meacham's. And then I also have a certificate for each one of you stating that we've given the $50 in your name.
That's incredible. For those people who are listening at home, what you're missing is five adult men acting as if they've just come back from Halloween.
There's no trick. It's all treat. Okay. I would also like to, because you have to have a lot of energy, Madam Clerk.
I got Patterson.
These are in the beef bags that we did in partnership with Harris Ranch, with Santa Barbara County Cattle Women, and with Scolari's for Father's Day the last 2 years. So we two are clean. Please do your shopping using our bags with our mine. Compliments.
I get this.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
We're very proud of our Cattlewoman of the Year, Darlene Rhoda, and her sister, a prior former Cattlewoman of the Year, are with us.
Mike, if you could, I know it's hard to.
I'll use the mic.
Okay.
I feel like I was you guys' personal secretary handing out all those things this morning.
Very great.
Good morning, June Kester, San Luis Obispo County Cattlewoman's President. I just want to thank you guys this morning. A lot of you know I live out in Parkfield. I got up very early this morning, and I was watching the sunrise, and I thought about all of you and what hard work that you do for us. It's a thankless job, and usually when you see people, they come and after you. But whether I agree with what you're doing or not, I'm reaching out, and I just handed you a card. It has all the numbers, and while I was out working cattle yesterday, I got a call on my quad, stopped it, and answered some questions. I'm reaching out to you as a cattlewoman's president and also an agriculturalist that when something comes before you that maybe you think you already know the answer or you want to look into it, please call us. Somebody will come talk to you. Amen. I am the president for San Luis, but I am fortunate to be married and sleep with the president of California Cattlemen's Association, Kevin Kester, and he too can help. Because just because it's going on in our county or it's something new, it's probably going all somewhere in the state already. So instead of coming in with boxing gloves on, that's not my approach. My approach is to reach out my hand, to give you my card with my personal number on it, and ask you to call whatever it is. I'm an agriculturalist. Yes, I do beef, but I also do wine grapes. And I'm a person who is a fifth generation, my kids are sixth generation, ranchers, agriculturalists, and the wisdom that you gentlemen have up here with all that you do for our county and what you I know that you put into it when you investigate things, I hope you just realize that with six generations or five generations, we have the wisdom as stewards of the land and people that want to take care of their animals and preserve it. So again, I reach out, I guess I call it the olive leaf, to you all in a very friendly manner and ask if anything comes up that you think is just remotely to do with agriculture in any sense of the word. If I can't help you and answer the questions, I'll find somebody who can. But please let us work with you. As Terry said, 2% of the population not only feeds the United States of America, but we also help feed the world. 98% of us are family-owned ranches. Sixth generation, my kids are very proud of it, and they could sit here and tell you a lot of things about water issues and land issues and cattle issues that maybe you might not know. And it might shock you coming from a 13-year-old up to a 23-year-old. I learn from them every day myself. But I just ask that you reach out to possibly history of landowners, agriculturalists that have dealt with all the issues that have come before us in nature. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kester. I do think we... Well, let's... Okay. Comments from the board?
Yes. Do you have any questions?
I have no questions. I just wanted to say thank you. My daughter is she's working cattle today, or she'd probably be here along with you. She's a member of the Cattle Women. So you guys are very active and very involved in the community, and I greatly appreciate it from our standpoint. So once again, thank you.
You're welcome. And if any of you need a good steak or need to have a good horse under you and really do want to see it, you give me a call and I'll provide both of those for you.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for the gifts, and particularly thank you very much for the donations in our name to the food bank, which is about the best gift you can give us. So, again, thanks. All right. Wow. And see, everybody who saw that should know, come with bags full of goodies. Donations to our favorite local nonprofits, and we'll just welcome you all the time. We're moving on. Another proclamation, another good proclamation is this is 2-1-1 day, and Supervisor Gibson is going to read the proclamation while I see an august delegation from 2-1-1.
Indeed, and we will ask Ms. Markwith to come forward to receive a resolution proclaiming February 11th, 2011 as 2-1-1 Day, and I want my colleagues to think about that carefully. 2-1-1 Day in San Luis Obispo County. The following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas United Way of San Luis Obispo County recognizes that San Luis Obispo County citizens have the need for immediate access to a variety of human services, including guidance to obtain food, shelter, child care, elder assistance, counseling, job training, income tax assistance, educational resources, financial literacy, health services, and more. And whereas the process of connecting those living and working in San Luis Obispo County with needed services has been simplified by United Way's support of 2-1-1 SLO County, a free, confidential, multilingual, 24-hour phone and web-based information and referral service. And whereas 2-1-1 SLO County provides individuals and families with the ability to navigate through an ever-changing landscape of resources with information for over 350 agencies and nearly 600 programs. And whereas United Way of San Luis Obispo County is an independent, nonprofit organization, and by way of adhering to the utmost standards of exceptional values and best practices, is a proud member of United Way Worldwide. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim February 11, 2011 as 2-1-1 Day and urges all county residents to utilize and sustain this service. United Way of San Luis Obispo County relies upon engaged community members and contributions from our citizens to support local programs such as 2-1-1 SLO County, as well as grant funding to distinguished nonprofit organizations that focus on education, income, and health. When we all give, advocate, and volunteer, we help advance the common good. We live united.
Markwith? Supervisor Meacham was just knocked to the floor. You want to stay for a photo here? That would be...
Take the beef stick. You have to take the marshmallow. You grab the front out of my hand.
All right, Frank, you got to stand up.
Hold it up to the exactly.
Okay. Well, the lectern is yours if you have some comments.
Andy?
After you've picked the side.
Last presentation stuff to follow, especially I just attended a Brandon recently at my sister's ranch and know how important that is. My name is Candy Markwith. I am CEO of Sierra Vista Regional Medical Center, but today I'm here to represent United Way of San Luis Obispo County. And we indeed would like to thank you for your proclamation of declaring February 11th 211 Day. Over the last 2 years, there's been over 15,000 calls to the 211 line. It's a very necessary service that connects our community to nearly 600 local, low-cost, and no-cost programs. Callers in crisis or with immediate needs are transferred to appropriate personnel in the mental health division or where they're locally trained employees and volunteers to help the staff. When an individual or family is in need of assistance, often multiple times of help are needed. By calling 211, we can activate many resources all at one time. 211 helps to support and strengthen the safety net of our community, and we are proud to be able to partner with you, San Luis Obispo County, to have a 211 call center serve our residents, and thank you for funding in 2010. While 211 still needs continued financial support locally from private donors, corporations, cities, and the county to continue operating, we hope that calling for the 211 Act will someday secure this service for a permanent solution. United Way of San Luis Obispo County has worked hard to maintain this service, and we thank the board for your ongoing commitment and support. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Candy. And Supervisor Gibson has a comment.
Well, I just wanted to express my appreciation to all who have worked so hard to put 211 together. It came out of our hotline program, and it's a testament, I guess, to a great idea that so many people have come together with money and time and effort to make sure we have this service in the county, and I know it hasn't been easy. You know, it strikes me in this day of budget struggles, we still do have services. We have services provided both by local government and by our wonderful nonprofits, and to me, it's just fundamentally important that people, especially people in crisis for one reason or another, have a direct way to get in touch with those services that can help. And so, again, I just thank everybody involved. It's a great program. I'm looking forward to it to becoming an institution in this county that just is one of those things that we do to make sure our residents get access to what they need. And I thank you.
Thank you. And certainly as a personal note, as the CEO of the largest hospital in the county, 211 is critical to the hospital operations beyond the other services it provides because it really helps to find those resources before those patients end up in crisis and end up at hospitals. So it's invaluable not just for the community and the other support services, but also for the stability and safety net for our local hospitals. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, we are going to move into public comment. And I have, if you want to speak, please have your slip in. I'm going to begin with our planning director, Mr. Jason Giffen, and followed by Gwen Taylor.
Good morning, Chairman Hill, members of the board. I'm happy to be here today to let you know that we are approaching the upcoming annual state conference for the Association of Environmental Professionals, which is a professional organization that every year as a part of that conference has an award ceremony. And yesterday we found out that during the conference from March 6th to March 9th, we'll be receiving two awards, one of which is a first place winner for the county's effort and work on the conservation and open space element, which is going to be receiving an outstanding planning document award. Additionally, we're going to be receiving an award of merit for a development constraints GIS model that we have developed, which will help us both in current analysis of general plan and documents as well as future efforts. There was a lot of people that were involved in completing and shepherding these two projects through the process. Most notably, I'd like to recognize the two project managers, James Caruso, for his work on the conservation and open space element, and Jeff Legato for his work on developing the GIS development constraints model. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Giffen, and thank you to your staff, and congratulations. Appreciate it. Ms. Taylor, followed by Richard Margetson.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor, and I'm a resident of Los Osos. The Los Osos CSD filed a complaint against a local water purveyor in 2004 due to the basin overdraft and saltwater intrusion. In September of 2007, the county entered into the interlocutory stipulated judgment. It was more than 9 months before addressing the problem began, in other words, meetings. A letter to the PUC supporting a 48% increase in rates in 2011, plus additional increases in 2012, was supported by the board for Golden State Water Company in October of 2008. The customers in the Golden State Water Company district are supporting the cost of the ISJ. Some customers in the prohibition zone will be paying three times for this water. The Golden State increase, the CSD costs, and the sewer costs as part of the wastewater project. Is this just? The time for action has long passed, and the outlook for action to be taken is critical now. The report of the ISJ action was to be reported in December. Not yet. When will it be available? This overdraft affects everyone in the Los Osos water basin. Responsibility to protect water quality and beneficial use of our water is this board's responsibility. Please help us now. Don't put it off anymore. Additional development is taking place. Additional straws are going in that soda glass. We can't afford it. We are overdrafted. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Richard Margetson, followed by Ben DeFada.
Richard Margetson. I noticed the sheriff's deputies in the back of the room again today. I've been trying to figure out why for weeks. Why just through public comment and then he leaves. I haven't gotten an answer from you, so I thought, well, maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. Maybe the sheriff's here to protect the public from one of you jumping across the dais and attacking us. Otherwise, I can't figure it out. It'd be funny if it wasn't so warped. You have a situation here that I think you need to either discuss in closed session or you need to have a discussion about publicly. And how it's escalated is that the Regional Water Quality Control Board hearing this last week on February 3rd, there was an item on the agenda, item 13, for Los Osos, a Los Osos update. There was a highway patrolman there in the back of the room. Two members of Los Osos, one early in the morning, overheard staff tell the highway patrolman that he was to stay until item 13 was over. Later, after the agenda item was over, and the gentleman was leaving the water board meeting, a member of the public asked him if he was done for the day, if he was going to lunch, and he said to that person, "I'm here. I was here just for item 13, the Los Osos item." Look at who's in the room today talking during public comment. George and Gwen Taylor, Elaine Watson, Ben DeFada, Lindy Owen, Catherine Jensen, Eric Greening, and myself. There's a need for a sheriff just during public comment because of those people? You're really getting close to a possible civil rights violation. You need to have this discussion before this escalates. On another note, I also think since you obviously can't fill your agendas with afternoon and next week you don't even have a meeting, maybe you need to have a Los Osos update. At the Water Board meeting, Mr. Gibson was proud to inform the Water Board and the public that with all the funding opportunities that are out there, that he's gotten the mobile home cost monthly down to around $100 per month.
Mr. DeFatta, totally followed by Kathleen Jensen and Lindy Owen following
updated.
Her.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairman Hill, Board. Ben DeFatta here, Sheriff, too. I personally want to thank you for your patience during this Los Osos sewer dilemma. Repetition is of uppermost importance to us given the state of the economy, loss of credit, upside down real estate, foreclosures, unemployment, low interest, collapsed stock market, the devaluing of the dollar, higher fuel costs, the cost of this sewer project. Many of us are using their principal, what's left of their savings, that have worked many years to accumulate, and there are many in Los Osos that rely on the government, Social Security, county welfare, and old pensions to survive. This definitely is affecting local businesses, every one of us, and especially those on fixed incomes, like those disabled and those in the sunset of their lives, which in Los Osos there are many that reside here. Living out one's retirement in comfort in Los Osos is not a dream anymore. It's become a matter of survival. Each of us is trimming and adjusting our budgets so our money will outlive us so we don't have to live in poverty. All levels of government have spent to where we all have run out of credit till there's no more to give. This is the worst recession since the Great Depression in 28 that lasted many years, and soon we will all be headed to the era, to a new era of extensive austerity. Soon we will be paying $250, $350 a month for the county sewer project for Los Osos, and adding on the cost of other utilities, which come to over $500 a month. The taking of this, all this money out of Los Osos and surrounding communities spells disasters to many businesses. History shows us that many costly bad decisions, such as proposing the sewer plant be built in the middle of town, uphill of the bay, so close to population, and increased traffic, were not even considered by the county. The disposing of 1 million gallons per day high above the middle of town, above many homes and people, disregarding the safety of our families, they were not even considered. Then you wasted more time and money going out to the Tunini Ranch. And the most important part of bad mistakes the project heads did not even do was an affordability study, what this community can afford. But see, I'm running out of time, so I'll just go down to the last paragraph. You all know that several thousand property owners and renters will be displaced, and that a new agency to oversee subsidizing those that can't afford the cost will only cause those that barely can pay for this welfare sewer fund will end up having to move too. The sewer welfare ferry is a bad idea, not right when cheaper alternatives are available. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeFatta. Kathleen Jensen, followed by Lindy Owen.
Oh, good morning. I'm Kathleen Jensen. I'm a 38-year resident, low-income homeowner in Los Osos. I'm here today to use my right as an American citizen, native-born Californian, under the Constitution of the United States of America, First Amendment, Article 1, that being the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. For redress of grievances. Los Osos and its people need higher help than the County of San Luis Obispo and the California Water Boards are able to provide. We need protection from tyranny and misuse of powers of the county and state agencies that they have used in an attempt to gentrify, environmentally destroy, and financially devastate the community of Los Osos, California. The grievances have been long, have had a long history here. I'd like to leave this paragraph out to shorten my time. I only have 3 minutes. But I'm going to do it anyway, and maybe I'll get a little time left. The grievances have a long history here, and our representative, Mr. Gibson, at his office hours meetings at Sea Pines Golf Course, refuses to address history. He does not want to face the truth, and he is suppressing the voice of the people in matters of great importance regarding our water supply and the most expensive per capita sewer project in the country. But without history, I'd like to go back to the most recent undemocratic event to have happened here, that being the county letter on rates and charges sent to some and maybe not all homeowners in the prohibition zone. We have no verification that they were. There are many out-of-town owners, bank-owned homes in foreclosure, and recent new owners. Did they receive the four-page letter from the Department of Public Works? This letter did not include an addressed card or an addressed envelope to return to the county to protest the uncapped charges. It was a lengthy letter, difficult for many to understand, and it did not include, but should have included, a cost comparison for the small pipe ponding system. The county has taken away our right of choice for a safer and more affordable system, and the State Water Board has threatened literally some people to death, and I mean to death, my friends have died, if they protested this county's plan. In a matter of such great importance, the receipt of letters should have been certified and verified that everyone received one, and the information in that letter should have been truthful and clear. We don't know how many letters were received after the December 14, 2010 county's deadline was set. A response from every homeowner should be requested without fear for responding sensibly, and evidence and receipt and response should become public record.
Ms. Jensen, you're
please, may I finish? I have this much more to go.
One sentence, please.
People's citizens' card forms were sent rather late, but they were truthful. Responses received after the December 14th, 2010 deadline should be counted. We had three different mailing lists to work from.
Ms. Jensen, we need to go on to Ms. Owen. Thank you.
This is so important right here. I'd like to pass this on to Ms.
Owen. You can submit it. We would be happy to take it. Thank you. Ms. Owen, followed by Mike Wynn.
Good afternoon, Lindy Owen from Los Osos, and I'm going to go ahead and continue reading a little bit of Kathleen's words here. To work from maybe some not correct or too old. No response does not mean county letters were ever received. No reply was required from the county letter, making it easier for the county to get its way or verify all letters were mailed and received. This whole process needs to be redone and become transparent and truthful to the people because of saltwater intrusion and level 3 water severity problems. Someone in authority must mandate water purveyors stop pumping the wells on the west side immediately. And then I had a little bit more to continue for her. Water is essential. Nitrates are not the problem. Golden State has agreed to filter nitrates out of the upper aquifer anyway. I agree with everything that you keep hearing about our saltwater intrusion problem is where we are in dire, we are losing a water supply while everybody sits and twiddles their thumbs and tries to figure out how they're going to nail us on the nitrates. We have less nitrates than any community in the entire county, for God's sakes, per capita. And I wanted to also, I would like to comment on Richard Margetson's. I really feel it's unjust to have a sheriff here, a police identity in the room because Los Osos citizens come in. I invited him to pat me down, and I will do that every time, but this man should be on the street taking care of crime. We don't come here with any aggression. I've only seen aggression from the other side, and you can talk to Sheriff Basti about that, his own personal experience. I guess I wanted to go on and talk about the issues really are that we need to have this 70% of the cost of a sewer is the collection system. You've gone ahead with Corolla. Let them guide you with Montgomery Watson Harza's pressure. Montgomery Watson Harza is no little teeny thing in this county. They're behind all kinds of gigantic projects. This is a corporate business that continues pressuring and infiltrating government. And it's what happened in Los Osos. It's what's happening in Morro Bay. And we need it to go back to what is affordable. If you want to go ahead and allow this insane large pipe project that is going to cause us to be one of the major polluters in the county and be paying $400 a month to do it, you can just sit there in your five seats and continue to do nothing. I am very disturbed by Supervisor Gibson that he's led this board to embrace Montgomery Watson Harza and Corolla engineering to make plans to go forward with a dinosaur technology, the most expensive collection system in America per capita. Please do something.
Mr. Wynn, followed by Eric Greening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Wynn. I'm speaking as a director from the Napomo Community Services District this time. Seawater intrusion is a common feature up and down the state of California in the coastal areas. It's natural. If you pump close to the ocean will come in. In every place that this has happened, in Monterey County and Ventura County and even here in our own Los Osos, there were people years ago who were saying, it's not a problem, it's not going to happen. But it did. In Napomo, your board saw fit to take action, to get ahead of the curve, not to wait till our well water tastes funny. And for that purpose, you did declare a level of 3 severity for water resources, and you did impose or create the Napomo Mesa Water Conservation Area with your Ordinance 3090. There's one piece of that ordinance that still has not been put in place. It's been in process for over 2 years now, and we still do not have a supplemental water in lieu fee we've agreed on. I say that. I think we actually do agree on it. Your study is complete. The number that your staff has and the number the NCSD has is the same number as far as I know. And I don't think there's anything that the NCSD needs to do, but if there is, please tell us. This is just one of those little things that you're busy, and sometimes these things slip through the cracks. So if you could give it a little push and bring it to completion, we would appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn, and hopefully we will get that moving for you. Eric Greening.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I'm very grateful to live in a county that is so safe that a sheriff's deputy can be spared from other duties to stand and listen to public comment. I mainly wanted to talk about the resource management system and how we're going to handle it this year. Apparently, it is upcoming because the RAC just spun off a subcommittee to look at it. And one request I would like to make for this year, especially relative to water supply, although it may apply in certain other areas, is to have, during the hearings, a map that shows what areas are covered by this system and by its findings, and what areas are not. And essentially to develop, as part of your process this year, a plan for next year of what needs to be done to fill in the gaps. Are there some gaps that are significant and need to be filled? But first, to just see it on a map. What are you looking at and what are you not looking at? Right now, for example, the Planning Commission is dealing with some very major projects on the Carrizo. There are no RMS findings relative to water supply there. There are different statements being made by different people, but there is no specific county document to which one refers to find out whether you have made findings relative to whether this basin is in balance with perennial yield or not. And obviously, you know, there's some very important implications. We'll be about to talk about that after public hearing relative to one of our basins. But again, I think it's important for you to understand not just what you're looking at when you go through the annual process, but what you're not looking at, so that if an action plan is needed to fill in the gaps, we can start on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. And that will close public comment, and we will move on to C1. And before we make a motion to continue, Mr. Greening, you would like to comment on this. So I will open C1 up to public comment, and let Mr. Greening speak.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening again. And first, I'd like to thank you for the action you took last week. I think that recognizing the problem, I know there were people concerned about the economic impact of having that label, but beyond the label, there is the recognition that indeed this will lead to a groundwater management plan, and that a problem that everyone is talking about and no one is doing anything about is far scarier to lenders than a problem that people are taking responsibility for and acting on. I'm fine with the continuance because I think this is going to be a process that takes a certain amount of time, with one exception. There is an effort now ongoing within the planning department, creating language for the rural area plan in connection with the land use and circulation element update. And I think it would make sense sooner rather than later for specific direction to be given relative to creating a planning area standard for this and any other rural areas certified as level of severity 3 for the duration of that certification, as long as that certification lasts, to protect existing owners and users in these basins, and particularly this basin, to protect them from competition from other straws not yet drawing, from other uses not yet granted, essentially to keep things at least in their current state of imbalance and not make it any worse until we solve the imbalance. So if that needs to happen before the 22nd, given the ongoing effort in the planning department, perhaps that component can be given a sooner date. But other than that, I'm fine with the continuance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. I'm going to close it to public comment and bring it back to the board and look for a motion.
Do you want to introduce the item? Or?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot that part of it already. Wow, we already had a good public comment on it, too. Madam Clerk, I'm sorry. Okay. Would you introduce the item?
C1, a hearing to consider a resolution of intention to develop a groundwater management plan for the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin, 1st and 5th Districts. It's recommended the item be continued to March 22nd, 2011.
Thank you. Mr. Meacham?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I do appreciate the continuance. I do want to make one comment, though, relative to Mr. Green's statement that no one's doing anything about. I take issue with that. The city of Atascadero, the city of Paso Robles, there have some very aggressive conservation plans in place. The wine industry has stepped up trying to do some things. There are people that are actually trying to do something about this concern. Is it everything we can do? No. But I don't want to discount those that have been trying to accomplish something. With that, I'd make a motion to continue the item to March 22nd.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion from Supervisor Meacham and a second from Supervisor Patterson and a comment from Supervisor Patterson and then a comment from Supervisor Gibson.
Yes, I see our Public Works engineer in charge of our groundwater issues, Courtney Howard, is here. I don't really have a question for Courtney. I just wanted to confirm that there is a stakeholders meeting scheduled for this Thursday, February 10th, from 5:30 to 7:30 in City Hall in Paso Robles. That's at 1000 Spring Street in Paso Robles. And there has been an ongoing effort to begin work on a basin groundwater management plan. Ms. Howard's been in charge of that. And if you want to speak to that effort and about this meeting on Thursday, I want the public to know that this is an opportunity for them to engage in the process, and I assume that that will be continuing.
Definitely. It'll be a Courtney Howard, County Public Works. It'll be an ongoing, even after the groundwater management plan is developed and finaled and hopefully adopted by several agencies and stakeholder groups, it will continue and evolve over time. especially with the different implementation actions that, such as what your board considered last week and what the other entities are doing that Supervisor Meacham mentioned. But definitely an opportunity to come out and provide more input. The draft components of the plan are available on our website at slocountywater.org. And if you'd like to be added to our stakeholder email list, I'm also accepting those.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Howard.
Thank you. Mr. Gibson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a request of Public Works and their sister agency, the Planning Department, when this does come back to us, if we could get a short presentation of how this particular item fits in with a lot of other things that are going on. You know, we have water master plans, we have resource management systems, we have rather a complex structure, and just for both the board and the public to understand how these different parts interplay and hopefully connect with one another would be very helpful at that point.
Indeed. I've had a lot of practice over the last year trying to explain it to different stakeholders. So,
okay. Well, good luck with this board, Ms. Howard. Thanks a lot.
Mr. Meacham, another comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. From what I understand, there is a draft basin management plan that's been either developed or is developing. And at what point will the public and will all of us have an opportunity to start reviewing that plan?
The opportunity is available now. Okay. One of the reasons why this step hasn't happened yet is that we wanted to get it far enough along. You have to do a resolution of intention to develop a plan and then within 2 years adopt the plan. And so that's why we were kind of trying to time it to where we were confident that it would be a good plan that we could bring to your board for adoption.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Howard. If there's no further comment, we will take a voice vote from the motion from Supervisor Meacham, second by Supervisor Patterson, to continue in the hearing until March 22nd. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on. I'm going to open the floor to public comment on closed session. Having received no request for public comment, I will close it and bring it back to the board and ask for Mr. Jensen to give us a time estimate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Warren Jensen, County Council. About 30 minutes.
About 30 minutes sounds like 15 to my ears. We shall be back. Thank you very much.